Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio, the first show of September. Training camp is just weeks away. Things are starting to heat up in Ranger Land. Good evening to everyone out there. Hope you guys are doing well. Thank you all for joining us. We've got a full chat room already. Thank you guys for all showing up. Eddie, good evening. How are you?
September morn. That's right. September 1st.
See you in September.
I am pleased as punch to be here with the fans, with you. I'm psyched up. I'm ready to go. I wish hockey was here. I wish we could talk about it, the games and the buffoonery and the highs, the lows, the good guys, the schmoes. I wish we could be talking about it, about the games, but right now it's purely conjecture and speculation time as Rangers continue to add players to the organization, and frankly, I don't know where they're playing. I don't know where they're playing. But anyway, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to see so many people here in the chat room joining us tonight.
It warms your cockles, doesn't it?
Warms the cockles of my heart. I got some big cockles.
We'd like to pass along a message from Costa. Good evening to the Ranger brass in the chat and listening. Welcome to all of you. Hope you're getting a nice, good signal up there at the Madison Square Garden offices. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Really quick, we're gonna start the show by just a couple of quick follow-ups from Thursday night's show. That we, you know, everything we talked about with what's going on with the Rangers and everything. I got a couple of quick responses here that I'm going to read to you guys, and then we're going to move on from it, and that'll be the end of it. So let me read a couple of things to you guys really quick. All right, Jim, I'm actually glad I could not call in tonight because what I would have said would not have been as calm and relaxed as this tightly knit statement. To tell you the truth, I don't know why we even root for this team anymore when all they do year after year is give us reasons to hate them. Whether it was making me remove my interview with Chad Johnson or trying to get you banned from NHL drafts, they never cease to amaze me. This team has caused me so much stress and anger over the last few years that when I die, the Rangers can walk past my grave, look at my headstone, and say, I put you in there. You and I are the same as are Nick, Joe, and Eddie. We are all fans just trying to give a different perspective on the game as the professionals are. We do a damn good job at it, if I may say so myself. That is the reason why they give us so much trouble, because they know we have a voice that people will listen to, one that even that they will listen to before the actual reporters. I know for a fact they have been on my site and they have been on yours. Although they hate us, I feel honored in a way that a simple fan can cause them such unnecessary trouble. It's actually kind of funny to sit back and look at their reactions. This team, this franchise, is a Mickey Mouse team. I do not know why they want to ban you from future NHL drafts, but there is not a reason they could possibly give that would make any sense. But they are the Rangers. They haven't made sense since 1994. We are free publicity to them, publicity that could have been positive had they not treated everyone like absolute garbage. They will never learn. To Nick and Joe, I don't know if you guys want this for a career, but if you do, you should both get your heads checked. You two have been witnesses and participants in this nonsense time and time again. You guys should not honor them with your presence. All I want in life is to finish college and become a high school history teacher. Any aspirations I had for working for this team that I've loved since childhood are long gone. It would be rather sad if it was not a so much needed wake-up call. This is the way of the world, unfair and ripe with idiocy. Thank you for letting me submit this statement to you. I wish I could elaborate more, but I am hogging the complimentary computer in my hotel lobby. I think I will wear a glove with four fingers from now on. That way, when people ask what happened to the other one, I can say I gave it to the Rangers. Au revoir, and don't have a stroke, Greg Caggiano. Well, thanks, Greg. And I was going to read that last week, but I just didn't have time with my car issues and getting to the show late and everything. So I promised him I'd read it this week because I told him it was timeless. And we have one more here. This is a little bit of a song parody, although I couldn't get the person that wrote this to call in and sing it. But I'll read you the email and you'll get the sentiment. Start spreading the news. Glenn's angry today. He don't want Jim to be a part of it. New York, New York. My God, I've listened to 90 minutes of your latest show, and I cannot believe the Rangers have said all this. I haven't had the chance to search the web for it all, but the only reason why they must be focusing so much on Blue Shirt Banner and yourself is because they are worried about you. They must be. They finally realize that Ranger fans love your guys' show and know they are losing out. You have no need to worry about the comments because you have something huge with Blue Shirt Banner and Blue Shirt Banner Radio, and they can't think of a better way, and they hate to hear what Ranger fans really think. That's our buddy Chris Smith from the UK, who also sent us a quick clip to play to follow up. So I'm going to play this real quick, and then that's the end of it. Here we go.
Hey, Jim. I can't believe how the Rangers front office have treated you over this. It's an absolute joke. But anyways, to hell with them. We don't care about the front office. We care about the team on the ice and us doing well. So that's all that matters. To hell with them. I thought it'd make you laugh. It makes me laugh. Every time I go on Facebook and the Rangers have posted something, the first comment on everyone I've seen in the last few weeks is fire saver, fire saver. It's hilarious. I'm not sure if it's the same guy doing it every time, but the first comment on everything they do is fire saver. So we all agree. We're all behind you. Well, not in that way, but we're all supporting you and keep doing what you're doing. Cheers, mate.
Chris bringing the comedy more and more every time.
Yeah, he's fitting in well.
A little more comedy every time. I love it. I wanted him to sing that little song parody and send it in the clip, but he wouldn't do it. He was afraid he was afraid he'd scare everybody off with his singing. But so I thought, you know, maybe now he'll do it now that he's heard our rendition of September Morn and See You in September. So
I don't know if I've been laughing in the background because this chat room, of course, is nuts. And
of course.
I was talking to CCCP. He was over in Spain, you know. I made a comment about it. He goes, fire, say the por favor. I don't know what made me laugh. But, he's
somebody was holding up a sign in the Barcelona airport, fire, say there.
Oh, God. Yeah. That, as JD used to say, that's dead and gone. Let's just move on. I'd rather just talk about puck. I hate dealing with official matters and all that stuff.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, yeah, that's geeky business stuff. Let's get down to geeky hockey stuff.
I wanted to read this to you really quick because I thought this was funny.
What is this, your mailbag here?
No. This
is a mailbag. I don't get a segment. All I get is the Ranger roll call thing. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, Jesus Christ! You and I start going at it. I've got nothing left.
No, I'm only joshing your galoshes. Go ahead.
And this is not from my mailbag. This is something I found on the internet. I was over at a friend's house over the weekend, and we were hanging out by the pool and playing some video games, and we were watching football. And you know how the NFL Network runs all the preseason games like all weekend long?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just so happened that the Bears game was on. And
did you know that the
Bears hired Sam Rosen to do their preseason games?
Really?
Yeah, and that struck me as so strange. I mean, he's a New York guy. I mean, they've already got enough hang-ups about New York and, you know, Chicago, places like Chicago, don't they? They really need a New York guy.
He's a Giants fan, too.
Yeah, he's a big Giant fan. He did Giants preseason games for years when they were on, when they were on Channel 11. It just seemed very strange, and I Googled Sam Rosen Bears because I was trying to just find out like what the deal was. Was he doing all their games? Was he a fill-in? And all I found was some guy on a Chicago Bears fan site posted, Sam Rosen, utterly unlistenable.
Yeah.
how have I dealt with his announcing of regular season games on Fox to this point? Maybe because they're regular season games. If I have to listen to this three more times before the regular season starts, more misidentifying players in their positions, I know for certain that I'm tuning out.
Well, you know, I'm hard on Sam. I think he's lost a lot since JD, and, you know, he's on the verbal lockdown now with the Kremlin, so he can't really express his opinions. So I'll give Sam a little bit leeway, but I'll be sick of him after, like, game 10. As long as he keeps saying intent to blow, when he said that last year, I cracked up.
Yeah, that was great.
The referee had the intention to blow the whistle, and the referee had the intent to blow. I tweeted that all over. I don't know. It amused me. I'm very juvenile that way.
And what's funny is that on the Chicago Bears official message board, somebody posted a complaint about him. And you can read just a little bit of it if you look on Google, but if you try and click over to the actual page to read the post, the Bears deleted it. The guy's like, Sam's the Rangers guy. He calls every game in New York. He's a New York guy. It's odd. Why was he calling Bears games?
Yeah. Well, he's an NFC guy, I think.
Yeah. He does NFL.
Yeah, he does the Fox, but, you know, that's what he does.
But, I mean, let's face it. The guy, you know, he's a New York guy. I mean, you know, he's the Golden Gloves on MSG, and, you know, I think he did the Knicks for a while on the radio, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it'd be kind of like, Skip Carey coming to do Mets games or something, you know, or Phil Rizzuto going to do, Dodger
doing games the Rangers.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
God, kill me. All right.
Just seemed like an odd choice. All right, now to you, your segment. Go ahead.
Well, guys, ladies and gentlemen of the chat room, of the internet connection that we have, I am drinking Kool-Aid, an individual cup, not a whole bowl that I drank last year, but now I have finally found somebody that I am going to root for, and I am going to proclaim great things for. And I'll give you one guess who it is. You got one chance. I am drinking Kool-Aid. I am up on this guy. I'm up on life. I'm high on life. I am drinking. Hey, Red, that's right.
Hey, Red.
And I got it. I like Tim Kennedy. I think he is going to contribute. Tim Kennedy.
It's not what your Kennedy can do for the Rangers.
Come on. I like this guy. I do. First of all, let me present my Kool-Aid to the jury out there. 24 years old, okay? Rookie last year. Had 10 goals, 16 assists. Finished 12th in rookie scoring. Tied with Evander Kane. All right, now Evander Kane was 19, but still, he finished 12th. Rangers get him really cheap. They're only on the hook for $550,000. I think this kid, a lot of people think, where is he going to play? Where? But the fact that they're starting to put, you're going to see a push, you know, with players in camp to play at their best, at best it makes their minor league system better, where we can get, like, good guys to bring up. I think this is a great pickup. And this is actually moving, in my opinion, this is how much I think of this move. My grade of Sather is going up. I think I had him at a B-. I'm going B-plus now. I'm going B-plus. If it wasn't for Bugard, I'd give him an A. And even that I'm starting to let go of. Because I realize Bugard's not going to play anyway, so what does it matter? I mean, he's going to play 35 games. But I like this Tim Kennedy, guys. I really do. I mean, and he had a choice to play between eight teams, and he picked the Rangers. And he didn't pick the Rangers because he thinks they're headed in the right direction. He wanted to stay on the East Coast.
He did say that he wants that he, the He looked forward to the chance to play for a top flight organization, I believe were the words he used.
What did he say? I'm sorry, I was distracted there.
He said he chose the Rangers because he wanted the opportunity to play for a top flight organization.
All right. I'm off the Kool-Aid.
No.
All right.
I have to say those things. I am now an employee.
I am part of the I am part of the hockey Borg. I must follow. Now what's going on here? We got the Doc and Friends. Is he around still, this guy? Did you boot him? Apparently there's some kind of spammer in our chat.
Oh, okay. Okay, Mandar, I thought you were talking about somebody else. All right, did we get it looks like he's gone. I apologize. I didn't see him there, so if he comes back, we'll kick him right out. Sorry about that, guys.
No, I like this guy, Jim. He's my guy. I have to pick a guy. I'm picking that guy. And you know who I'm down on now?
Sean Avery.
I thought you who I'm down on because I asked you. Who do you think I'm down on now?
Marion Gaborik.
Oh, yeah, I'm down on him. Though. I'm down on Brandon.
Sean Avery.
I think a lot of people overrate Brandon Prust. Come on. Everybody's got him penciled in. This guy could go 20 games without scoring. Ah, we like the North-South play. Yeah, come on. I remember Dale Weiss in there. I think Brandon Prust is a little bit... Ranger fans are counting on him too much. What do you think? I mean, he's been traveled. You know?
I don't know. I haven't seen where I would say that Ranger fans are counting on him too much. I think, look, 25, 30 games. Ranger fans liked what they saw. We picked up the. I mean, you can make the argument the team definitely played better with him in the lineup. You know, he kind of energized them. I think.
I think he's going to be this year's Boros.
He's the type of guy, Ray. Oh, wow.
I think he is. No,
he's
I like Brandon Prust.
Your fans like. He's undersized for what he does, and he's
beautiful.
He plays hard. You know.
He's Jed Ortmeyer who fights. Oh boy, I'm excited.
It seems like everybody's like
Brandon Prust, oh my God, you know, like they have him in the lineup. You see these ridiculous penciled in lines. This guy's well traveled for a reason. Not well traveled, been with a couple teams for some reason.
Yeah, but you know, Rock's not talking about down the stretch. Big deal down the stretch. Yes, for 20 games? Why just down the stretch or what? They didn't make the playoffs. He played good on a line with Jody Shelley and Autumn. There's a line that strikes fear in all opponents. I mean, that could have been just luck.
Was Prust banging?
So?
Prust banging last year. I forgot all about last year. Maybe this is why I'm going with this prediction. Was he banging?
Yeah. I thought he played a good physical game. You know, I'm going to use two of your terms. You're drinking the Kool-Aid and throwing the baby out with the bathwater on the same sentence.
Now we got Louis Lounge who said he plays with heart. I don't want heart. I want production. Every time I get an opinion, you guys talk me out of it. You talk sense to me. But I think we are a little bit over. I mean, we get accused, Ranger fans or some of these elite Ranger fans we talk to, I think we overrate a lot of players. But that guy, I know we want that type of player, but I could see this guy going 15 games without scoring. And I know he's not there to score, but being riding the pine. You know, the Rangers are looking for goal scoring, so they're bringing Matt Zuccarello Austin up from Hartford. Let's go to Jim Serdy. Let me look at my laptop. How do you pronounce your name? Welcome.
You know what, though?
What?
As fans, we're allowed to overrate guys. The problem is when the Rangers overrate guys. don't make a damn bit of difference who we overrate or underrate. So let's overrate the guy. I think he'll be fine. I think you're... give Brandon a chance! Give Brandon a chance!
You keep adding for... You know what it is? I'm a little cheesed, because now my favorite Mr. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy may lose his spot because of Brandon Prost. So I have an agenda, it looks like. I don't know. There's so many guys that want to get a chance on the team. There's not a lot of room. Just not a lot of room for a bunch of a bunch of mediocre players.
Plenty of room. Yeah, you know, when I was looking at Tim Kennedy, and I took a look at it. I didn't know a whole lot about him, so I was looking at his stats, and it looks like he got drafted. He was in college, played for Michigan State, and he kind of, I mean, it looks like he kind of got fast tracked. Spent a year in the AHL, and then Buffalo brought him right up, and played 78 games last year, and you know. I think it's, so, you know, he's a little bit older. He's 24 as far as, you know, a guy coming out of, you know, when you think of young players, I mean, yeah, he's young, but this guy's, you know, this guy still, you know, he's still got a lot of development ahead of him at the NHL level. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So
he's a little white.
I think it's a good pickup.
For the price?
Absolutely.
I mean, for the price, it shows you Buffalo is so big. I feel bad in a way for these small market teams. Number one, because if we were covering, we'd have all access, but and their fans would be able. But hey, we're here to serve the Ranger fans. Bring those Sabre fans.
That's
but
right.
Their organization is so bad. I mean, financially, they're $5 million under the cap, and they still couldn't fit this guy on their budget. And he was only asking for $1 million. The arbitrator awarded him $1 million. They said, we're going to have to let you walk.
Now, you just mentioned, I know you mentioned it a minute ago. How much did they sign him for?
The Rangers?
Yeah.
I think Buffalo was on the hook. I'm not sure. I know you cap gurus and you people who follow is on the hook for one-third of his salary, but I know the Rangers are paying him $550,000.
Okay.
What's the NHL minimum? I mean,
I think so. So, you know, even if the Rangers had signed him for $1 million for 1 year, I still don't think I'd have a problem. You know, if they were on the hook for a full million on this guy, I still don't think I'd have a problem with the signing. And you know what? He had 26 points last year, and that would put him in the top 10 on the Rangers scoring from last year.
Yeah, I saw some of the lines he was playing on it. Well, then, you know, it was like Clark MacArthur and, you know, Greer. Rosie Greer there. I mean, it wasn't like he was playing on top lines. He's a little bit light. I think he's like 170 pounds, 180 pounds. He weighs as much as my left leg. But the guy, I mean, you know, he's another guy you got to throw in the mix. And I like it. And I think fans are going to like this guy. I'm now predicting that it's... Which is the kiss of death, by the way, that he will make the Rangers. Well, and I mean, it's better than those Tyler Arneson. You remember last year with Tyler Arneson?
Yeah.
They gave him $1 million. The guy, he didn't even, I don't know where he went.
Who was the guy they signed the year before? Andres Jampton? The guy he signed that was going to replace Avery in the lineup, and he never played a game. I think he played two preseason games and hightailed it back to Europe or something like that. But, you know, Ranger fan, you've been saying for years, you want to get younger. Well, you know what? They're getting younger.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens. I'd rather try and fail with young guys than try and fail with guys, you know, who are over the hill.
And you know what?
We saw that for a long time, too. It doesn't
stockpile. And now I've been successfully baited into talking about the guy that needs to get gone, as they say. Brian Boyle, sorry. I saw enough of you last year. You're a big kid, and I'm not on you like everybody else is, that you're not physical enough, that you don't throw your body, which, hey, listen, would be a plus. The kid was a goal scorer in college. He's actually been with practicing this year in the off season with a speed skater. I don't even want to go there. I'm sure you can come up with a better quip right now. Brian Boyle, it was nice knowing you. You're a big kid. You're a pretty good penalty killer, but you serve no purpose. Need to move on. You're Hartford bound, Brian.
Era, we don't need you anymore.
Now that Tim Kennedy is on the roster. Oh, will be. So, he's a one. He doesn't. It's over. Sorry, Brian. I had hopes for you. But you have no scoring touch. The guy can't put the puck in the ocean. I know you can't score much on the fourth line of the New York Rangers team, but still, I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything, Brian. You and Prust in the minors.
All right, we got a switchboard that is quickly filling up. You want to take some calls?
And get some opinions on some of these opinions we're throwing out here.
All right.
People call with their own agenda and tell you, oh, I'm at Chili's with my girlfriend. Who gives a crap? Let's talk about Rangers.
All right, first up on the show, 631-493. You're on Blue Shirt Panda Radio. Good evening. And who is this?
It's Eva.
You're Chili?
Right. Off the bat.
Yeah, I'm at Chili's with my boyfriend.
Eva!
Oh, no. Not that Wally clip.
Eva! Eva!
What's going on, Eva?
Good. What's going on with you guys?
We're just doing well.
We're arguing.
We're
in a fight.
I know you're in a fight.
Would you like to voice your opinions on our opinions?
Nah. I got better stuff to say.
And what is that? You going to do a trivia question?
No trivia. I met Henrik Lundqvist at the airport on Saturday.
Really?
Whoa!
Yeah!
Was this the secret rendezvous?
Was there an indecent proposal?
Oh, I wish it would have been. No, he was really cool. He was hanging out with his girlfriend and his dog.
Really?
Yeah.
Is the same chick he's been hanging with, the same, you know, girlfriend he's had for like 10 years or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. It's not Jackie, though. It's the other Mrs.
Yeah,
Jackie's a Blackhawks fan.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
Nah.
A picture of her with the cup with the Blackhawks shirt. Get over it. It's over. They won the cup. Move on. You're a Ranger fan.
Listen, she's got a backup team. We should all take lessons from her.
No, but you know what?
Right.
You have the backup team. You have your backup team. Fine. They win the cup. Okay. You wear the shirt. Hey, look at me. I'm my backup team. But you know what? Time to move on. Back to the Rangers. You're either with us. You're either with us or against us.
Oh boy, you are fired up, Jim.
He really got somebody lit a fire under his tucket.
Exactly.
So,
probably
now,
he didn't get his cupcakes.
Hello, the wild effect.
I love it when you speak Yiddish.
Me?
No.
Hey.
It took us.
I want to say took us. Now, set the scene for us, Eva. Set the scene. You're there. You're a stewardess, and you're about to go on. Well, what exactly went on? I don't know. You're an air flight attendant, and you're
We had this conversation.
We did.
I still call them stewardess. I'm old school. What's that guy?
Think she's on TWA.
I know. Please. All right. What am I doing?
I want to know how this happened. Where were
all
you?
All right. We were at the airport. Actually, I didn't see Henrik first because I was too busy looking at a magazine. Claude picked up on him because he's got this sixth sense of just scanning the crowd of people. And he's like, Lundquist. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, Henrik Lundquist. So as he's walking out with some of his luggage, he screams out. He's like, Henrik, welcome back, or welcome to New York, or whatever it was. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you just did that. The guy looked over and just waved at us like, you know, who are these mental patients?
did Claude do his Brashear imitation for Henrik?
No, I think he would have gotten popped in the head on that one.
Oh.
Yeah. So then he's outside now. Henrik Lundquist is outside with his luggage, and he's waiting for some more things, I guess, to happen. I'm like, should we go out and say hello and, you know, get a picture? He's like, no, leave the guy alone. So I was
Frosty
like, should we, shouldn't we? It was just a back and forth kind of thing.
Eva, and Frosty wants to know if Marty Biron was carrying his luggage.
I don't think so. It was Steve Alicat.
Now,
yeah.
Did you say anything to Henrik? Like, oh, nice to meet you, or
no? Because right away, I didn't know what to do. So I was just like, should I or shouldn't I? Back and forth. So I'm like, all right, you know what? I'll just go outside and, you know, say hello to him. And I did. And Claude was out there. He came out with the camera. So I said, you know, can I take a picture? He's like, yeah, sure. So we're talking about the flight. And the airline lost 4 pieces of luggage for him, so he was not happy. But he was still nice enough to take a picture and smile. So that really made my day.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah,
I saw the picture on Facebook.
Yeah, it was nice.
Did you tell him that maybe if he'd have stopped that last shootout shot against the Flyers, they wouldn't have lost his luggage?
Dude,
yeah.
I couldn't get anything out other than, like, can I take a picture with you? Are you kidding me? I go, like, crazy when I see these people. I'm like, duh.
Were you stammering?
I was. I do it all the time. I'm like a deer caught in headlights. It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened, you know.
I did that when we had lunch with Eddie.
He's my local
celebrity.
So did I.
Well, listen, I am on the par of a Henrik Lundquist in my own mind.
Yeah.
They left the bags
with all his hair gel.
Yeah, he didn't have too much hair gel. We shook his hand, we said, you know, we'll see you, have a great season, and that's it.
You know, and Claude didn't say, hey, can you get a picture of me? There was no switching, or he just didn't want to bother him, really?
No, I don't know. He's actually the better photographer, I don't know.
Did he want a picture with Hank?
No. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he wanted to take a picture with him. I don't know.
Well, I gave it to you. It's all right. Hold there. You the mouth. You the mouth. I went to Chinese restaurant. They say, no, you no say here. You the mouth. You know the mouth. You friends with the mouth. You know how to do chow chicken. No, no, no.
Islanders owner Charles Wang has joined us.
Listen, hey, I've been banned from Chinese buffets in Ronkonkoma.
So they say,
no, you know the mouth. You know, coming here.
You go now.
Gosh.
You and your Lundquist friend, you go.
I was just going to. Frosty beat me to the hop sing comment.
Unbelievable. Yeah, we talked about
Henrik Lundquist. We're standing outside with the dude, his girlfriend, and his Doberman for 10 good minutes, and not one other person picks up on it. And we're just chilling there, waiting for his bags. It's awesome.
I mean, he's all dressed up. People don't like, well, he wasn't all dressed. Was he all dressed up for that pic? No.
No, not really. He had just cleared customs. He was just coming out. I'm looking for my son. All of a sudden, here's Henrik Lundquist. I'm like, hey,
wow.
Hank, Henrik, welcome home. I thought I was his driver. I said, no, wrong color, bro.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on. You should have been holding a sign.
I know.
Lundquist.
Right.
Lundquist.
The silly driver was waiting for him on the other side of where he should have been. So this poor guy's looking around. All right, he gave us a wave, whatever. Then he walks right past us. He literally brushes right past us. I have to revive Eva. to decide what we're going to do next. I didn't really want to bother that guy, you know. He just come off a 10-hour
yeah.
flight, whatever the heck it was. But, yeah, then we went outside. It was cool, man. It was great. Great.
That's good. That's good. See, then it also is an indictment to how much hockey, you know, the guy's to us, he's a celebrity, you know.
He's
but,
the king.
You know, he's the king. And he's just walking around an airport, and I'm surprised the MSG higher-up security didn't attack you because you're affiliated with Boucher Panda Radio and take the credentials away in your passport.
I know. Well, you know what? There's somebody Put knocking at my door right now. I don't know what's going on.
Rangers probably got caught on the no-fly list now.
There's a short guy with, I don't know, he's wearing a raincoat. I don't know what he looks like. Let me hand you back over to the... oh, you're done with him. All right.
They're done with us, Jim.
We're done with you guys. That's it.
Your money's on the dresser. I'm through with you.
That's it. You're done.
All right, guys. Well, thanks
all right.
for calling in.
Thank
Stop calling me. All right.
Don't call it.
Okay, Mouth. You're the Mouth. So long, Mouth.
Bye.
Okay.
I love you long time.
Okay.
Goodbye.
I'll tell you what, boy. You know, being in that house, I'd like to be a fly on the wall in that house. At some, they're both crazy.
They're funny, I tell you. A funny pair of great human beings. I have to tell you, really cool peeps, as they say. All right. So then we had a Henrik Lundqvist sighting. Good
yep.
to see Hank. You know, one thing that bugs me. Now, what do you guys think about this? Henrik Lundqvist charges, I think, anywhere between $100 and $125 for an autograph at one of these signings. Now, he's one of the highest-paid goaltenders, if not the highest. He makes about $6 million a year. Do you think that's a little unreasonable?
I think it's extremely unreasonable.
Yeah?
I'm sorry. I don't think professional athletes nowadays have any business charging for their autograph. I just don't. You know? If a guy like, you know, when some of these old-time ball players, when they charge for their autograph, I could somewhat understand that. Those guys didn't make a lot of money in their day, even compared to, you know, what the cost of living was. They didn't make money in those days like they do now. But $100 bucks for his autograph? Come on. That's what is he doing with the? I mean, what does he need to? Was he tip? That's tip money for him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I totally agree with you. Because really, you know, I understand they think, well, this guy's going to sell this on eBay. It's some memorabilia. He can make a profit out of it. I want to, what you call it, you know, maybe there's some, but, you know, you got a kid signing. I know a lot of people use their kids as, like, you know, maybe cheating by proxy, but still, how much money do you really need? I mean, I understand this. It's a capitalist society. God bless capitalism. God bless you. You're a great American, everybody here listening. But really, and Canadian, and Australian, and British people. That would be people from Britain, by the way. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's a bit much, Jim.
Now, well, let me ask you a question, because you go to a lot of these Ranger events and other, you know, signings and things like that. Are you an autograph guy?
No.
You run into Henrik Lundqvist in an airport. You ask him for his autograph?
No.
See,
I'm not either.
I used to be. You know, up until maybe, I don't know, I guess I was in my 20s. And now if the opportunity presents itself, I'd rather take a picture. You know, because I think a lot of times they're more willing to take a picture, and a picture's something to be, an autograph to me doesn't mean anything. You know, it's a signature on a piece
yeah.
of paper or a hat, or it just doesn't mean anything. I'd rather have a picture that I can put in a frame, I put up on my wall. And you know, you talk about, and I don't want to get too far off on a tangent on this, but since you're talking about it, I think it's relevant. You talk about people use their kids as bait or whatever, and a couple of times when the Giants have come out here to Phoenix, my buddies and I have gone to the hotel where the Giants stay, and hung around, and, you know, we've been able to get some pictures, and they've all usually been really cool to us. The only one who was ever really a dick to us was Tyrone Wheatley, but big deal, he was a piece of shit anyway. But anyway, but there are guys that hang around these the hotels with just gigantic loose-leaf binders full of shit that they want these guys to sign. So from that standpoint, I can understand why, you know, they're weary about signing, they want to get paid because they know these guys are just memorabilia salesmen. And, it's, and yeah, a lot of them, you know, you'll see them kind of hanging around in the background, and they've got their kids, you know, 10, 12 years old with these yeah. gigantic books in their hand that they want these guys, you know, and you open the, and you look in the book, and they'll have like 8 or 10 pictures of the same picture of, you know, Eli Manning or Brandon Jacobs, and they just want to, you know, how many will you sign really quick for me so I can get them on eBay by tomorrow, you know? So that's why, in my case, I'd much rather have a picture. I've been, you know, fortunate enough to meet quite a few guys that have played for the Giants, and I have pictures of them on the wall, and a couple of guys that played for the Mets, and a few Rangers here and there. But, you know, an autograph to me, after, you know, when I was a kid, yeah, that was a big deal, but that, and to me now it's meaningless. It's just, it's a
like
signature on a piece of paper, you know, and, yeah, I mean.
I like the pictures.
Yeah, it's just, it's something, you know, I have my picture. I'll tell you, one of my prized possessions is my, I have my picture with Wellington Mara. And I mean, that was like, to me, that was, it's me and my friend Mike in the picture with Wellington Mara. And that, to me, that was like meeting God. I mean, it was just, that was, that picture,
wow.
I have it, I hang it up by my, it was just, I mean, here's a guy, you know, owns the Giants, and he's been around them since he's a kid, you know, 70, he was seven, probably 75, 80 years old at the time. I mean, it was just incredible standing next to him, and he was so nice, and I thanked him for not being Dan Snyder, which he thought was funny. But anyway, so, yeah, that's kind of my take on autographs. I don't...
Especially since hockey is such a rare thing, and it's such a cult kind of sport, right? And the Rangers aren't top dogs. I mean, if people go out a chance to see you, why are you hosing them for $100? I mean,
yeah,
they're your devout followers.
And, you know, especially, these are tough times, you know? I mean, how do you put a, you know, because there are, you know, we're not just, you know, besides the memorabilia collectors, there are parents out there who are Ranger fans, who have kids who are just learning how to become Ranger fans. And, you know, they get attached to the, you know, guys like Henrik Lundqvist and Marion Gaborik and, you know, Sean Avery, whoever. How do you explain that to a kid, you know? Oh, I'm sorry, I can't take you to meet your hero because I don't have $100 for his autograph, you know?
All right.
I don't know if you remember the show that used to be on TV. It was called The Commish. Michael Chiklis was in it, and he was talking about, there was one episode where he was all excited because all his baseball heroes were going to be doing a card show, and he was going to take his son, and they go to the show at the end, and there's just, and as soon as you walk in, there's just a price list. Yogi Berra's this much, Mickey Mantle's this much, this one's this much, and he turns around and leaves. You know, he's like, the whole episode he's trying to explain to his son how important these guys were to his childhood, and then he goes and sees the price list, and you know, he's like, I can't put a price on my childhood.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's, you know, these wacky parents, they take who has $100 for a friggin' autograph?
How much? I sure as hell don't.
Oh. And they always talk about, oh, nobody has any, you know, disposable income. That can't get more disposable than that.
Yeah.
Here's a picture what somebody wrote on, $100. That.
Yeah, I mean, like the old saying goes, take a picture, it'll last longer.
Exactly. Speaking of pictures, I'm going to bring this one up. Dr. Feelgood alluded to it. Happy Bullet gets his mug shot. He's getting 30 days in your neck of the woods there, Arizona.
Yeah.
The DUI.
I'm really surprised that it wasn't longer than 30 days. The laws are pretty tough out here, especially on DUIs. And, you know, we got the real tough sheriff. You guys have probably heard he's always on the news, Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He's the guy that, you know, brought back the chain gang, and he's got the prisoners living in tents. You know, they call it Tent City, and they eat nothing but bologna every day. And He's got him out there in the pink jumpsuits. I was surprised. I thought he got off easy, to be honest with you. But, yeah, he lives his house is about 10 miles from where I live. And I was really surprised at that he only got 30 days. I thought he'd get the max. I thought they'd throw the proverbial book at him.
$5,100 fine? $5,100?
Tip money.
Exactly. He's only going 70 in a 45 while drunk. With his Ferrari. Oh, boy. Last year, I was really happy Boolin signed a 4-year, $15 million deal. So, $5,000.
What's $5,000 to a guy that's making $4 or $5 million a year? I mean, what?
Somebody break that down to a game. How much is he making a game? I failed math.
I was told there would be no math.
That's a good one.
So, I guess the Kovalchuk deal, I guess there's another proposal on the table. But I guess the NHL is still mulling it over. So I guess there's no...
Get ready for the hey-hos. I could not give a shit less or more, whatever the phrase is, about where that buffoon ends up. I am sick to death of this story. This story has been around for months. I don't care. He'll wind up with the Devils. Anyway, after it's all said and done, I don't want to hear about Kovalchuk anymore. I swear to God, if I hear about him, I am going to go to the Discovery Channel building and hold somebody hostage.
You know, I can understand how that guy at the Discovery Channel felt. I felt the same way when Channel 11 took the Odd Couple and Honeymooners off.
I mean, it's just...
Kovalchuk is your slowly I turned, huh?
I can't take it. I can't take it. I read about it all the time. It's just ridiculous. And now, I don't know if you got this, it's being reported that Antti Niemi is going to the Sharks. He's ready to sign a 1-year contract over there. Could this be the difference maker for the, the Sharks?
I don't know. Well, I mean, is Niemi any better? Is he better than Nabokov?
Well, Nabokov is gonzo. He's over in the.
I know.
Hey.
But I'm saying, is Niemi an upgrade?
Well, I think he's better than Antero Niinimaki.
Oh, well, anybody's...
I don't like that Mock.
He's terrible.
I think he's an upgrade. I don't think he's great, but he's solid. I think he's solid. And I think he's an upgrade. Yeah, I think he'll... is he an upgrade over there? I think it's kind of a... They need a change of flavor over there. And Niemi, maybe that flavor they need. They needed
maybe.
To change something. I mean, but this one was because, you know, Nabokov decided to go to the KHL. But, I don't know. What do you think about Niemi? I mean, we have, you know, people say, well, you know, he didn't really win the cup for Chicago. But, you know, it's tough mentally to play all those games and to hang in there and just be capable. It's very underrated. I think a lot of people don't want to give him his due because Chicago had a lot of studs.
Every time we have a goalie conversation, Frosty throws Jan Denis into the equation.
He's in love with Jan Denis.
You want to take more phone calls?
Yeah, let's take some more phone calls. Opinions, please. I want opinions.
All right. We have a Skype call on the line. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hello, guys.
Paul?
It's your long-lost friend.
Oh, ho, ho! Oh, hell, how are you?
You're
Jim, your message hit home last week when you sent me a message and said, where have you been? We were talking about you. I said, let me call and let you know that I'm still here.
Well, we follow you on the Facebook. We know you're busy with the kids and summertime.
Yeah, I see. Me and you both celebrated the our birthdays in the same week, which is nice. Belated happy birthday.
Same to you.
Thank you. Getting ready for the season and right around the corner now, guys.
Stocking up on your Prilosec.
On my anti-John Tortorella rant, so.
Get those revved up. There's a lot missing. I want to talk about Torts here for a second. There's a lot missing this year. Last year, everybody was so hyped for the season because of Tortorella, because of the difference that he was going to make, bring some passion to the team. And the Rangers have basically brought back the same team. And they really haven't. But in a way, we haven't gotten those star-studded guys we thought might make us better, I guess, for the lack of any other analyzation. But this year, a lot of people are off towards bandwagon. And I got to say, one of the first guys off the bandwagon was you, Paul. So, I mean, has anything changed? Are you still you going to give them the benefit of the doubt? I mean,
you know what? You know what? I'm going to, the first couple months, I'm not going to, take a wait and see, position with the team. But I still say he came here very overrated, and his record is very mediocre at best. I know everyone keeps, but I know he won a cup with Tampa Bay. I know that. But put that aside and take that year out and look at the rest of the years he's coached. Very mediocre. And he's missed the playoffs. 9 years coaching, he's missed the playoffs 4 or 5 years out of those 9 years. Go look at it, at his record other than the cup year. This is what,
Right. I know that's been your, I was like you. I was super passionate. I was really trying to throw the blame game all over. Come on, did he really have a good team last year? And I know what you're going to say, because it's what I would say. No, he didn't really have a good team, but it was probably the young guys. And from what we heard, the way it was going down with the young guys. I don't know. I mean, they really didn't have a good team, Paul.
The majority of the year, the way the division played, they should have been in the playoff. You know, they should have been at the dance at the end, not out. No matter 1 point, whatever, they should have been in the top eight somewhere, because that division was atrocious most of last season. And I think I gave you the stat. It was just a stat, but I was just trying to show how the season went last year in their conference. Right before the All-Star break, there's that stat, the previous 10 games. I think 9 of the 15 teams played below 500 hockey. And that's just an indication there's no consistency in that. And I just don't know how they missed. I still say he coached them out of a playoff spot. I said it at the end of the season, and I'll say it again now.
We got an interesting debate going on here in the chat room. We've got Phoenix Rangers says Torts is going to be the coach of the year.
And you know what, Jim? I hope so. I'm a Rangers fan.
I hope
we're
wrong.
And we got Walker saying last year wasn't Torts' fault. Bruce Cohen is saying it was Torts' fault. Mandar's saying it was Torts' fault. Stroker Ace is saying Torts will be gone by the All-Star break. And, here's the thing I keep thinking about is how do we – is he on the hot seat or isn't he this
season? No, it's not on the hot.
And I don't think he is only – I don't think the talent level is there where you can correctly – I don't know how to put this – Can he really be judged at this point on what they're doing? Because the talent level's not there.
You're saying that they can't gauge his performance because they don't have the players.
He's going to have to get them he's going to have to get them to overachieve somehow. And I guess.
Yeah. And they didn't do that. Except for the beginning and the end.
It's going to be hard to figure out his what his barometer is this year, I think.
I'll tell you why he's not on the hot seat. First of all, they don't make any changes over at that Looney Tune bin over there. They don't make any changes. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is still affiliated with the Knicks. Nobody goes. All right? Second of all, he fits perfectly with the don't ask, don't tell, never answer a question league over there. He doesn't answer. Perfect. Dolan loves that. Never deal with the media. Don't talk. He's not going anywhere, okay? And especially since they're trying to get a lot of these young guys in here and develop. Right now, in their mind, in their warped mind, we're becoming the Chicago Blackhawks slowly. So what's going to happen is I don't think he's going anywhere until they have that full crop of guys and if he's not winning with them. I really believe that. I think he is stuck there. Now, my problem with this guy is one thing. You know, he talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. How many times do you say players were going to be accountable? You will win. You will play by your own merit. And we've discussed this before with Redden, but it's not just Redden. It goes beyond that. How many guys stuck up the joint for 20 games, 25 games, over and over, but they still saw playing time? I don't see it. I didn't see any accountability on that team. Did you guys?
None. Zero. Zero.
Right? I didn't see anything. How do you run a team like that? When you come in and you're Mr. Taskmaster, and you couldn't get anybody in line. I didn't see anybody fall in the line. Did you see anybody, a player, wow, Torts has been on him and his play's really improved. Did you see that? I didn't.
No.
Was he lighting a fire on anybody's behind? I didn't see it. He couldn't get Avery to play. Well, we know he turned off Avery with whatever he said.
Hey, he turned off a lot of players last year. Now, then we're lead a couple games around the Garden, some of the, the scuttlebutt there, not to mention P, but, they said there was a lot of turmoil behind the doors with him. And that's why I think, if they don't win, it's one thing, and they're trying, but if it starts to get, like a chaotic scene and it's a distraction, how much can they take if they miss the playoffs again? It's all about the money and the revenue, and if they miss the playoffs again, they can't. They have to make the playoffs this year for him to keep his job. I mean, I know what you said earlier, the team, looks like the roster, he's being given a team that isn't, overall talent-wise very good, but the bottom line is that I think he is to a point on the hot seat to make the playoffs. Absolutely.
Well, maybe the playoffs, but they just don't change anything. With Brandon Dubinsky or wherever Christian is your first line center, I mean, if you're called in by the GM, this is of course theoretical because there's no accountability in the organization. But if you're called in by the GM, I want to go over a little rant here. On the Tim Kennedy deal, my boy there, Kennedy, they interviewed the GM of the Sabres, Darcy Regier. Okay? I couldn't believe it. They were interviewing the GM. This is what happens with other hockey teams. Even a minor deal. Tim Kennedy was leaving the team. They weren't announcing his team. And their GM was actually talking to the fans and telling them what their objectives were and why they had to do it. I couldn't believe it. It was mind-blowing to me. Things actually happening the way they should. It really, I'm stunned. I'm stunned. So, I don't know. But Paul, I'm glad you're going to give him the benefit of the doubt because, hope springs eternal, and maybe in his second year we'll see a kindler, gentler John Tortorella.
I hope so. Jim a few minutes ago said something. He used the word overachieving, and, good coaches are great coaches, however you want to say it, though, but they get teams that aren't good to play, to overachieve. And it just seems to me Tortorella doesn't, his teams never overachieve. If you understand what I'm trying to say, you know, mm-hmm. they just, you know, how can I say this? When he was with Tampa, you know, he came in, the team wasn't very good, and you know what, they became good under him, they won the cup, but after that, though, and after the lockout and that, the roster, you know, of course, Vinny was still there, and some, help me out, guys, Marty St. Louis and Brad Richards, but...
Dan Boyle.
But the
Dan
roster
Boyle.
Wasn't as deep, and
Marino
the team
Boyle.
Really didn't do well, and they missed the playoffs a couple of years, and, you know... This guy just doesn't, for the most part, his teams just don't, you know, good coaches make their teams play much better and to a point overachieve, and this coach doesn't do it. He creates, how many times last year in the post-game press conferences did he throw, now this is my opinion, everyone may disagree with me, but I got it, that he was like throwing the team under the bus where he was saying, yeah, well, this didn't work, and I tell the players they're in this, and, you know, they got to work. And they, you know what? You're the coach. You're all in that. Everyone in their locker room should be in it. You know, the 20 players and Torts and the two assistant coaches. He always seems to point fingers at other people, and he takes a step back. So he's not involved, if you
well,
understand.
I definitely agree with you there, Paul, and I thought he did the same thing, and we talked about it before, when they had a problem with backup goaltending. And they asked him about it, and he said, well, it's a mess. And I just thought, you know, I thought he threw the front office under the bus by saying that. You know, he was trying to – it seems like – we've said this, you know, before, but it almost seems to me like sometimes he's trying to disconnect himself.
Yes, that's a good word, Jim.
From decisions so that if it all falls down, he could just say, well, you know, look at the hand I was dealt. You know, or look, I didn't have to. You know, he's going to use he'll use that old Parcells line. If they want you to cook the food, they should let you shop for the groceries. You know.
And I didn't like the stuff that he said. Like, well, we need our best players to play at their best. Like Marion Gabbert didn't do enough. I mean, the guy has to get 2 goals every night. That's his thing. Well, we need our defensive guys to play their best. We need our offense. Anytime it's always, we need our players to step up.
Maybe the defensive players were playing their best, and maybe that's the problem.
I thought he took shots at Eric Richards in the last game, and then it came out he had a shoulder or a separated shoulder he played with. And, the guy played hurt, and Tortorella took shots at him and said he didn't show up. I mean, what do you want? The guy's playing hurt. What do you want?
And, I mean, you know, again, we've said this. You know, this is nothing new here. But how many times? You know, all the players on this team that underachieved this year, and it's a long list. But Enver Leeson is the one he makes an example out of. Well, I mean, there's no excuse for that. You dress the guy, you sit him on the bench for the entire night. To observe.
That one's always going to be your problem.
And you know what? I wish one day I could go to work and my boss would say, you know what? You got up, you got dressed, you came to work, but you're just going to sit here today. You're not going to do anything. You're just going to sit and watch everybody else work. I put my feet up and say, where do I sign?
or maybe if you were, I got to agree with that. I'd be like that too, but I mean, it's quite humiliating for a professional athlete. I mean, and did that shock into Enver Leeson into some great stratosphere of play after that? No! They probably didn't have it in him, but still. And it seems, maybe you guys could speak to this. As a coach, aren't you supposed to be there to protect your players from the media and take the brunt of it? Rennie used to do this. I didn't have a great game. My game plan was, you know, we didn't execute my game plan. Whatever it is, be general. This guy likes to be specific and always puts the focus on his players and not him. You got to take the heat, sports. Take some heat. You're part of a team. There's no I in team. I'm done.
I agree. All right, Paul, we're going to take some other calls. We appreciate you making your triumphant return to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. And hopefully we'll see you next week.
Yes, and Eddie will hopefully will take in a couple games again this year. Like
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Sorry, I missed the lunch date. Eva had sent me a message last week. I couldn't make it. I heard you guys had a double date.
No problem. I always like Paul. Paul's one hell of a he's a funny guy, and he's an intense guy. I'm telling you.
Funny how? Funny like a clown. I'm here to amuse you. That's a line from Goodfellas. You guys should know that.
Yeah. Of course. Shine box.
Hey, guys, just quickly before I hang up, I don't know if you saw, I put on my Facebook, last night my daughter went to the Garden. Justin Bieber was at a concert, you know, the teen idol that everyone's crazy about. And while she was there, they're filming a future movie about him, and they were filming the concert last night. And at one point, they were pleading with the audience to settle down, to try to be as quiet as they could. And as they finally get the audience to settle down, my daughter said the guy with a booming voice about 10 rows behind her screams out, "Let's go, Rangers!" And I just thought it was great. She thought it was great. Of course, the other people there probably went over their heads. But
I thought you were
going
to yell out for Chris Sager. That would have been even
but
funnier.
With hockey around the corner, I just thought it was great. And she came home. You got to tell me that right away. So
that is cool.
I love it.
I'm just excited. I'm a little kid still.
guys,
great show, and we'll speak to you next week.
All right,
take care, Paul.
Take care, bye-bye.
Take it easy. Good night.
So during that Bieber fever, let's go Rangers. I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. You want to? All right, let's get another phone call on. I got calls that's been holding for a while. As soon as the switchboard comes back up. Here it goes. Eddie, are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay. You're waiting. 917-887, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio.
Hey.
Is it critical?
No, it's me. What's going on, guys?
What's going on, Zach? Are you back from Philadelphia?
Yeah, I've been back for like the past few weeks.
Yeah, I know. Still. I read your Facebook, but I just figured it was a nice way to open the conversation. Well,
yeah, I figured.
What's going on?
Just hanging out, you know. Birthday's around the corner, hockey's around the corner, allergy season's around the corner, I could go on.
Snow around the corner?
If only that were so.
So
this has been an interesting off season, don't you think?
Yeah. It's always interesting when you're a Ranger fan. Never a dull moment.
I think this year it's just been all about the goalies. I mean, Turco going to Chicago, Chicago losing Niemi, Rangers getting Biron, that, you know, we're so used to seeing so much changes, but never with the goaltending situation.
Yeah, it seems to me a lot of goaltenders, a lot of defensemen moved. Forwards, not too much. There wasn't a lot, you know, super out there. I mean, other than Kovalchuk, and a lot of them got signed early yet. Names escape me at this point.
No, Kovalchuk's a different situation.
Right. So, I mean, it's been about the goalies, and, I really have come around to Marty Biron. I don't know if you guys saw that article about... What? What are you laughing at?
Jay just said there's only a dull moment when the Rangers are actually playing.
It's true. You know, it's funny because I love talking on the radio. I love doing my videos. But when the games are going on, you know, when it's 0-0 after two periods, I'm like, holy cow, this is boring. What? They got to get some offense. I don't even care if they give up a lot of goals. I want offense. Let's get some pond hockey going, for Christ's sake. Let's see Frolov up and down the ice, passing. Oh, but a guy reached his goal! That's what I want to see.
Friend of mine is going to take me to a preseason game. I'm hoping I get to see Frolov play, and I hope he does well.
Yeah, let's hope he does good. I mean, that's another. This goes, that's what I'm saying. You know, you said it's all about the goalie, and it is. I mean, we got beer on everything, but I'm telling you, I hate to say this. This has been a pretty good offseason. I mean, if they wind up, do you think it's a victory in just the fact that Wayne Wren, if he does, get sent down to the minors, how many Ranger fans will be so happy?
Oh, they'll throw a parade for him. They will personally drive him up to Hartford. Oh, I would do it.
Do you think it's an automatic win? Remember last year when they signed Gilroy and they had a big thing? He's been signed, $1 million plus, whatever. When they saw Sam Rosen and Wade Redden's in Hartford, and it's a big hoopla. Yeah! I mean, is that a win right there?
Could be.
Yeah. Now, we were talking about, I just got the message now, the chat room down. We were talking about, well, Zach, let me get your opinion. Are you on, what's your feeling about John Tortorella?
Well, I always say this, you know, I like the guy and I don't like the guy. He's got an aggressive style, which I like, but it's just, obviously he's not clicking with the team because he is overly aggressive. Yes, he's throwing everybody under the bus. You know, he threw Gavrik under, Reddit, Avery, everybody. I mean, well, I don't think he said anything bad about Lundqvist, but everybody else he just threw under the bus. And he did take responsibility for himself, which we all did not like. He needs to lighten up. You know, this should be an interesting training camp. We should see how he comes about it. But we're hoping that he will, you know, mention that he was a little too hard on everybody last year, and he's got a new quad. He's got a squad, and he's got a lot of young guys. And we're all going to be crossing our fingers, hoping that he will lighten up a bit. I don't want him to get rid of his aggressive attitude outright, but I want him to lighten up.
Right. No. Yeah, I think I hope he gets a little bit kinder and gentler.
I mean, you have to look at our team. Look at our team. Believe it or not, we have great players. Gilroy is pretty good.
Wait.
Just hear me out.
Use the word great.
You're throwing around the word great far too loosely.
Yeah.
Hear me out. Gilroy is a good player. Just listen to me.
Good's not great.
Right, go ahead.
Gilroy is a good player. Dubinsky is a good player. I'm not saying great. You guys already started biting my head off with great. They're good players. And you have other... I lost my train of thought because you guys kept yelling at me. The point is, and we've all seen this, Tortorella doesn't give players a good, real chance. You know, he's always changing the lines every 5 seconds. You know, he's always benching players constantly and yelling at them. They don't learn well. They don't learn like how they did with Rennie. They don't learn like how they do with any other coach. Tortorella's mind frame is, you got to do it my way or I'm going to yell at you.
He's a bully.
Don't learn that way. You never do.
Well, you got a point there.
See, now he's speaking like a... Now he's speaking.
Now
like
he's back to reality.
Well, he's speaking
you
like
pop
a
pill or something or have a shot? Nice.
No.
Well, you know
no.
who else thought he did a good job last year or somebody that thought he did a good job? This guy.
I only have one other hockey question, because Boomer's the hockey guy here, so let me just get it out of the way, and then I'll let you guys do your thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
As a guy who played for Mike Keenan, and we all know who Mike is and, you know, the kind of guy he is, and won a cup with him, and don't lie to me, because we have a rule on this show, as you know, you're a frequent guest, you lie to women, you lie to kids, you don't lie to men, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You do not like Tortorella, is that fair to say?
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes.
I like Tortorella. I think he's a great coach.
You do?
I do. I think he's, I don't know if there's many guys that could have coached that team into the success that we had last year. I think he's a demanding coach, but I think he's a guy that obviously has won before, so he comes with that kind of background. And to me, that you know, coaching is not an easy profession. I certainly have a lot of respect for it, being around it the last, you know, my whole career and the guys that I've coached and coached well, but I don't have a problem with John Tortorella coaching this team.
You don't expect him to badmouth the organization about anybody
success.
On air.
But success?
Are you an apologist for these guys, Zach? You want him as GM if he thinks the Rangers had success last year?
I did not say I wanted Messier as GM. Never supported him as GM. I think he'll be a great GM, but I don't want him to be for the Rangers.
I just...
Wait, you think he's going to be a great GM, but you don't want to be a GM for the Rangers? Why don't you...
You guys are putting words in my mouth. Knock it off already.
They're your words. They're your words. Epic fail, Zach.
You guys are going to be the end of me.
We love you, Zach. All right,
I know.
The calls, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
One last thing. I'm going to the season opener in Buffalo. Should be a blast.
Nice.
Oh, good.
I think I'm sitting in one of the corners. It's got to be where the French Connection banners are. So try to find me on TV.
If you see Tim Kennedy, tell him I love him.
Will do.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
And I say, Mark Messier, your rubber room is ready.
Right. I mean, come on. I know nothing about coaching hockey, but I'm fairly certain I could coach a professional team to miss the playoffs.
In the Atlantic, in the Eastern Conference. They missed the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, Mark.
that's like being in the part of the turd where there's no corn. You're still in the turd. All right, let's take another call. We're going to do the roll call in a couple of minutes, but there's a lot of calls online, so let's get to them. 347-894, you're on Blue Shirt Panda Radio. Who's this?
What's up, guys? It's Rock. How you doing?
Hey, Rock, what's up?
Hey, Rock.
Eddie, I'm sorry I had to bait you with that Brian Boyle dig before. I know how he's your favorite player on the team.
I just think, what is he, other than kill penalties, which he basically learned to do last year, what does he bring? Nothing.
Yeah,
and Ranger fans always fall into this trap. If a guy's big, they want him to hit. And, of course, it is part and parcel to be big to throw your body around. I don't even want him to do that. I didn't see anything last year. Did you see anything?
No, I mean, I didn't really see anything. He was a good penalty killer. He's pretty decent on faceoffs, but he's a fourth-line center. I mean, he has hands of stone. He doesn't really move that fast. He doesn't really hit anybody. He started mixing it up a little bit with the physicalness, but honestly, he wasn't worth giving up a third-round pick, and I think that's what a lot of the fans are a little bit up in arms with, that you gave up a third-round pick to get him in this year's draft, and there were actually a few decent guys left on the board this year. In the third round, and I think that's the big thing with Boyle. Eddie, I agree with you 100% on the Tim Kennedy signing. I love it. I think for what they paid for him, for his age, he's coming out of a good organization. I think it's a home run. I mean, one way or another, it's a great signing. I was bored the other day, so I did some line combinations. I'll tell you now, from what it looks like, one or even two significant players, I'm not talking about rookies. I'm talking about veterans or guys with maybe a year or two under their belt aren't making this team. And if they do make it, they're sitting on the bench or they're sitting in the press box because there's no room. This Kennedy signing, there's really no room. And I'm not even putting Zuccarello in the equation at this point. There's just no room for these guys to play. It's going to be a really interesting training camp.
Well,
yeah.
I still think there's another move coming. I really do.
Yeah,
I think
all the beat writers are, I think, under that impression too. But who's getting traded? Who's moving? Maybe Brian Boyle gets traded for a draft pick or future considerations. But really, he's the only one I think that I don't know. I was racking my brain trying to figure out who could possibly get moved at this point.
I think just about anybody. Except for a couple of Gabrick and Lundqvist and Stahl.
You guys think there's another trade coming? I think
I don't know. I just can't see how they go into camp with 25 third line forwards and you know, try and throw a team together. I just think they got some. I don't know. Maybe that's wishful thinking, but
unless they're serious and Todd White, they're really considering Todd White not making this team, or unless maybe he's the significant guy that gets sent to Hartford if the, you know, if he has a, you know, mediocre training camp. But you know, I was doing the math and looking it up, and I just can't see who's going to get moved. But their defensive quality, I know you said you gave Sather a better grade, and I looked at the offseason, and it's not as horrendous as I initially looked at it. But I don't give him a good grade because he didn't improve the defense. I mean, Steve Evans is a great seventh defenseman.
Eighth
defenseman. You're still, yeah. But you still have this, you're bringing back the same exact defensive core from last year. And again, you have Delzato, you have hopefully McDonough making the team, you still got a young Mark Stahl, Gilroy's still fairly young, Girardi's still fairly young, and they're learning from two of the worst defensemen in hockey, Wade Redden and Michael Roosevelt. To me, you needed to bring in like what Philly did, a Sean O'Donnell-type defenseman who can play a lot, but has some experience, that's been through the grind, that can battle, that can teach these guys, you know, the rigors of being an NHL defenseman and how to go up against, you know, the big guys of the East. To me, these defensemen are learning from horrible defensemen. And that, to me, that is the worst thing you can do when you have young defensemen.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I said that last offseason. I was worried about Gilroy and Delzato picking up the bad habits.
Well, I think that's another reason that Redden had such a bad meeting with Torts at the end of the season, because besides being the most horrific player in the history of hockey on defense, he didn't even try to attempt, I mean, I don't know for sure, to kind of, and thank God for us, that he didn't try to attempt to take those young guys under his tutelage. You're right, the defense is definitely a question mark, although I'm not, I don't think Roosevelt is totally not serviceable. He's serviceable, but you're right. They need a guy who can log a lot of minutes and teach these guys, and they don't have that. But on the other hand, I look at it, you have probably the best goalie in the league in Hank Lundqvist to kind of cover up for those errors.
That's what they're banking on.
That's what they're banking on.
I think that's what they're banking on because, I mean, you look at this defense board, it's really...
They don't have enough... Yeah, and... Even though, you know, Girardi to me is overrated by Ranger fans. I think we can do a lot better than him. He's good.
Or you're going to do that with the two
right.
guys that are being, you know, paid the big bucks. You're going to do that. You're going to overrate a guy like that.
Right. So, you know, it's an interesting, I mean, it's definitely, you're on point there. I mean, but, you know, they're going to have holes. And
yeah.
I don't think Gilroy is going to be up with the big squad this year. I think he's starting in Hartford.
I think it's between him and McDonough. I really do. I think that they're going to be battling for that sixth, seventh defenseman spot. But then again, you know, you're going to have two rogue. You're going to have another young guy on defense. And if Redden doesn't make the team, now your anchor, you know, your veteran anchor, though Stahl is you know, well beyond his years. I mean, he's 22 years old, and he's well beyond his years as far as maturity and stability. But now you're taking Redden out of the equation, and now you plan to put another rookie in his spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're further hindering your defense. I still think.
Yeah, I mean, you are kind of you're walking another tightrope without any net when you have another rookie in there. You know, as bad as Wade Redden is, positioning wise, he's got to be better than a guy who's from college, coming out of college. Although I like McDonough, I read an article about McDonough in the Hockey News, and he said he was devastated when Montreal traded him to the Rangers. And he hadn't met with anybody from the Rangers, until really recently. Like, the scout, nobody. And now he went to that the camp there, what'd they have, like the prospect camp? And he says now he feels a little bit better. He's pretty big, this kid. I mean, he's not tall, but he's thick. He's 222 pounds.
Yeah, they said in the combine that he was probably the best physically fit player. He was a kid in a, you know, a man in a kid's, you know, I forgot how they worded it, but they were really impressed with his size and whatnot, and they were really impressed with that. I don't know if you guys have been following the Ranger notebook from the informal skate that they do. First of all, why Derek Bougard is not there yet, to me, is, you know, what are you waiting for? You're going to get your ass kicked in by Tortorella, the first
guy
in training camp. He should have been the first guy there. And I'm not sure, is Chris Drury there? I haven't read if Chris Drury's there. He better get his ass there, too. I mean, Chris, you know, you're the leader of this team, and that brings me to my whole Tortorella tangent. Tortorella, I personally like him. I told you this last week. I like the fact that he kicks guys in the ass. I like that he pushes guys. He's very similar to Keenan. The problem with the Rangers is you have too many fragile, weak-minded players on this team. Chris Drury is a great human being. He's a great guy. He's very similar to Leach as far as a personality is concerned. He should not be the captain of this team. He's too fragile mentally to be captain of this team. You see when he talks, he looks like a deer in headlights in these press conferences. He doesn't know what to say. He looks scared. He looks intimidated by the media. I personally love the signing. I like Chris Drury as a player. He gets criticized a lot because he's making too much money for the amount of offense that he puts out at this stage in his career. He's over 30 years old. I think that's where the team is faulting, too, because they have too many. Roosevelt's another weak-minded player. Wade Redd is another weak-minded player. You got too many. Look
he's
at the guy
simple,
that's Forrest
a,
last
Wade
year.
Wade Redden's a simple-minded player.
Vinny Prospo had a great year under Tortorella. He had a great year under Tortorella. And you see him in press conferences. He was assertive. The way he spoke with confidence, even when the team was in the shitter. You felt like, all right, well, you know what? This guy, at least, he's not going to be afraid to go into battle. And I'm not criticizing Drury's heart. His heart's probably in it's in the right place, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm bashing him to the point where I don't think he's trying. I just think when you're the captain of the Rangers, and Leach had that problem too, when you're captain of the Rangers, it's a huge responsibility because the fans are relentless. You need a guy who can push and that doesn't give a rat's ass what anybody thinks. And that's where I think why Tortorella had a hard time with this team last year, because his leadership was... And Callahan, you know, again, he's assertive. I'm not sure if he's the right. He's a great player on the ice. He bangs people. But is he a demanding voice in the locker room? And to me, that's where your coaching staff can only do so much. You need your veteran leadership to step up and say, hey, boys, listen, let's get our shit together. Let's go out there and show some emotion. And the team showed no emotion through the middle half of the season. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Well, the thing is that your captain should be the guy that can, you know, he should be your conduit in the locker room of the coach's message. And I don't, and you know, I don't know if Chris Drury's that guy. You know, for better or worse, not to keep bringing him up, but you know, Mark Messier, at least on at face value, bought into Mike Keenan's message and presented it to the locker room. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if he's that guy.
He's the captain by default. Let's be honest. If he wasn't on this team, who would the captain of the Rangers be right now? Where's their veteran leadership? Michael Roosevelt and Wade Redden and Chris Drury. Where's the veteran leadership on this team? It's non-existent. Chris Drury is the captain by default. Plain and simple. He has the biggest contract. He's the captain by default. He's won a cup. How many guys on the Rangers have won a cup? You know, when the Rangers were winning, when they had Yager and Shanahan, and even when they had Gomez, you know, at least they had some guys with some rings on their finger. They got one guy who's won a cup that knows the rigors of the NHL. Then that's been through the grind. Chris Drury's the captain by default. That's really what it looks like at this point.
I mean,
didn't this happen in the beginning of last season, and correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Tortorella come out and say, I stay out of the room, that's Chris's room, you know, that's their thing, and I don't think, now Jim hates Chris Drury, I mean, you know, in a hockey way.
Chris Drury is a fine, fine New York Ranger.
I think Chris Drury, we, you know, you guys watched the Olympics last year. Him and Callahan did us proud. I mean, I know they didn't score many goals, but
absolutely,
they were so great on the penalty kill. And they, you can tell, those boys have heart. They do. You cannot tell me. Chris Drury may be on the downside of his career and terrible right now, but you cannot tell me that guy doesn't have heart. I see him block shots. He scored a goal against the Capitals with a broken hand or whatever that two years ago.
Right.
So I got no. Now, is he a good captain? Well, I don't think so. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, you know, you're right with the veteran leadership. Do I think that he's run out of gas? Yeah. Do you think he's overpaid? Yeah. I mean, but since he deserved to be on the, let me ask you this. If you're making the lines, just basically on, you know, based on stats, I mean, you made the, your where did you put him in your lineup?
Third line wing.
That's where he belongs.
With Callahan. I actually put Tim Kennedy at center. I don't know. Honestly, Eddie, I mean, like I said, to me, he's a third line player at this stage in his career. You know,
you got
and,
Callahan on the third line?
Yeah.
Callahan's
I mean,
a warrior.
I don't know. I got to see who I put on the five. I think I put Prosper and I have Callahan on the second line. I have to look at my list again. I was throwing it all around because I was trying to figure out where everybody was going to play. Because to me, they have too many forwards. But I think I like Callahan and Drury together. I think they play the best when they play together. I mean, I don't know. That's just maybe my own opinion. I think.
I mean, you know, that's valid.
I don't know what you think. I mean, I think that Tortorella gets a lot of heat, and I think he deserves a lot of it. I think the big thing with him last year, I think that the team was very fragile at the beginning of the game. They won those seven games, but if you remember those last few games that they won, like the game in Toronto, the seventh win, actually, Lundqvist shouldn't have started. They should have started Valiquette against Toronto, who they had shelled the week prior. Lundqvist went
Toronto.
In, kind of shaky. And they barely beat Toronto. And then they came in. They went up 2-0 against San Jose. They played Valiquette against San Jose, who was on a tear. They were up 2-0. And then Valiquette let up, like, 5 goals on 10 shots. And I think that's the biggest mistake that I can remember that Tortorella made as far as a coaching.
Yeah, well.
With the exception of, obviously, of Gabarik and Olli Jokinen. But that's the point that I remember the most, that he seemed to he dropped the ball. That Valiquette should have never played against. Why did you play Lundqvist against the worst team in the NHL and you play Valiquette against one of the top teams in the West? To me, that made absolutely no sense.
Right.
But
it's a mistake, and he should have owned up to it. And it looked like he shit the bed when he finally figured the Rangers might not make the playoffs after all we'll get it straightened out, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, it was like Lundqvist. I mean, and now, what you call it's got knee problems. Still, he took another cortisone shot the other day, Hank. So, again,
Ava
you're
going to
have
at the airport.
Yeah, the biggest thing was Biron. I think the Biron signing, to me, was probably the most important signing of the offseason. I think that and let's just hope he plays. Just hope he plays well. Because if he goes in and he lets up, you know, Mike Dunham numbers, 2 goals on 3 shots, and you know, then Tortorella loses faith in him, and then where we are, when we're back where we were last year.
Well,
so.
Eddie's just hoping he doesn't wear the Billy Smith tribute mask.
Oh God!
All right, Rock. We're gonna,
all right,
we're gonna move on. Thanks for
have
calling.
A good night.
We'll talk to you next week. Take it easy.
You got it, brother.
Take care, Rock.
Good. Thanks.
All right. You want to do? You want to do roll call?
Yeah, might as well. We got a lot of great people in here tonight, and we'd like to give them their due.
Here it is. There we go.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
It's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tomy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
Fans, compatriots, compadres, and people who would join us in our allegiance to celebrate our New York Rangers in our hour of sadness and darkness. And we give you 2 hours of absolute bright light here at Blue Shirt Banner Radio. I now give you the Ranger Blue Shirt Banner Radio roll call for September 1st, 2010. They call him Dr. Feelgood, Dr. Filegood. They call him Dr. Crazy. It's going to make you feel all right. He's in the house. Claude is in the house. Now, Claude was talking about, you go now. That's about, I was telling a story that Claude about, he's Avery Rules, by the way, about how my friend actually got thrown out of an all-you-can-eat buffet for eating too many crabs. And I know what you're saying, that friend is you, Mouth, but it wasn't me. It actually was one of my friends. Bullet for my Valentine 01. He loves heavy metal. He likes to sit up on Saturday nights, turn on that VH1 classic, and listen to the heavy metal four-hour parade from 1 to 4, fist-banging mania and sexy bruh. And then, the Iron Curtain, CCCP, the Rusty, who takes women, any women he wants, especially at the Fire City Glen Sazer Rally, which was organized by Mike Zippo, by the way, and CCP likes to pick up young Rusky nymphs and then take him to his abode. And then there's City Hockey Fever, that's right. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. He's got the fever, City Hockey Fever. He loves hockey, and he's from some city. And cold as ice. Holy foreigner, Batman.
Here's
you know, you're cold as ice. Bring it. Cold as ice.
Sacrifice our love.
Yeah, that's it. Sing it there, buddy. Now, listen.
I can remember.
When I saw that originally, I thought it said cold slice, and I like a cold slice of pizza. I'm down with any kind of pizza, warm, cold, or medium. Cold as ice, we love having you in the room. You're a new name to me, and I love it. And Coochie Wally. Coochie Wally, always seeing him on the FB. He's always talking to me over there. We have a good relationship. It's strictly platonic. We just talk about hockey. Read your rocking and rolling, Coochie Wally. Thanks for joining us. Costa the Crazy Greek. Who believed, ladies and gentlemen, that the economic crisis? Nah. The wars? Nah. The root of all evil in the United States right now is Major League Baseball. And he might be right. And then there's Cutter TML, the pride of Kitchener, Ontario. Cutter, we love you. Jeff, we love you adding in our chat room. You're one fantastic man. And DB Maven, holy DB. You know what DB stands for? Come on, type it. DB stands for DB Maven. What does DB mean? Do we know what that means yet?
You know, if I hadn't met him and known better, I would say it stands for douchebag. But we know he's anything but that. So, you know, but I don't know.
He's dumb bastard Maven. That's what his name is. Frosty hitting us with the... What was that weird reference he came up with Frosty? He beat you to the punch with what was that one? I forgot that.
I forgot it too.
I don't know. He was probably talking about Nichelle Nichols or something. I don't know. Nichelle, whatever name. Anyway, there you go, Frosty99. His name is Anthony. You can call him Tony, but what you can't call him is you can't call him Ray. You can't call him Jay, but you can call me Johnson.
And that is for some people who really had no lives in the 70s and remember what I'm talking about. And then there's Eva. Eva got to meet Henry Grundquist. Holy coly moly cannoli stromboli. And let me tell you, I think if he was, had a couple of drinks in her, she might have kissed Hank on the lips, and I guess, and I know Claude, being the pervert that he is, would have snapped some pics and video, and it would be all over the internet. Jay of the day, who's disagreeing with me on Brandon Prust, in Prust you trust, and I think Prust is going to get flushed. That's what I think. But listen, I hope it's all good. I hope it's all great. Jay of the Dead, a lucky, lovely, loyal listener. Blue Shirt Bandia Radio. Justin Joe Micheletti. He's playing the what-if game with me and IM. What if Chris Drury wasn't on this team? What if Roosevelt was gone? What if Redden was gone? Would if we had a top four, would we be a contender? No! He will never be a contender until we have more scoring. What am I talking about? And then Johnny from Australia, my hardcore personality, my hardcore friend in Australia, giving the hard, keeping the hardcore reality going in 2010 as I stumble over these words like I stumbled over my aunt last week at a family gathering. LeBron Blows still not giving it up. He still hates LeBron for not coming to New York and ruining the Knicks' 25-year plan to get LeBron here. Holy LeBron Blows! He's tenacious. He's got some kind of tenacity that I just can't even imagine. The hatred. He's pugnacious. The pugnacious LeBron Blows. And the Moon Ranger! That's right. What a Looney Tune Moon Ranger is. Love the Moon Ranger. Always here, always chiming in the chat room, saying funny things. Like, oh, you guys are terrifically funny people.
He wants to know if you tripped over your Aunt Bunny.
Oh, my Aunt Bunny?
She's got a mustache.
Oh, my Aunt Bunny.
I'm halfway down now. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord.
And now, a new name in the roll call, Louis Lounge one. I think of a lounge, what is it? I think of some, old Rat Pack music, and you're singing back, sitting back in your chair, smoking wacky weed. That's right, Manda, always the great co-host, always the great contributor, always the great instigator. Manda, keeping it real in the field in North Carolina. Mr. French is in a trench. I always say the same thing, but this is a great name. It just reminds me of Sebastian Cabot and the show Family Affair, which was had probably the worst cast names in history. There was Buffy, there was Jody, there was Sissy, there was Uncle Bill. I don't know. They really didn't have any real names in that show. I don't get it. And, of course, the doll, Mrs. Beasley. And Phoenix Ranger. We love Phoenix, Arizona, because Alice Cooper's Pound, whatever it is, Alice Cooper's Pound is there. I've been to that bar and have imbibed several alcoholic and adult beverages there by watching a bad Neil Young impersonator. And then there's, of course, me, Ranger Crisis, and there's Ranger Dude, 35, Zach. We went at it with Zach. Zach, I didn't mean to antagonize you, but when you said the Rangers have a great team or a great bunch of forwards, you are out of your gotten pick in mind. And then Rock 1193. Rock just called in and weighed in, and he's setting his lines up, and he's getting everything set, and we can't wait for hockey and to hear these after-game comments. Rock has been joining us for the last, forever, it seems. And, Rock, we always appreciate you calling straight for Johnny. Straight. I don't say straight. It's SRT for Johnny. And I don't know. I remember what that meant, but I forgot. So I apologize, Johnny. And I'm getting on my hands and knees and apologizing to you as I speak. Stroke Eraser, great Burt Reynolds movie, by the way. And Stroke Eraser, I think he has been here before. And I'm just glad he's back and come back. There's only one Stroke Eraser, and I'm glad he's here with us here on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. And now, finally, Walker, New York Ranger, the great Corey. Wait, is that Corey?
Yes. I think that is. Corey from Salt Lake City, Utah. Holy cow, we have listeners in Utah, Jim. Walker, New York Ranger, is a fan of some of the same TV programming that I enjoy. Stray SRT 4444, the car. I'm sorry, I went back there. He enjoys that Southbound and Down show that I love so much.
I love that show, too.
Oh, that show is funny. With that guy. That isn't Danny McBride,
Kenny,
I think, talking that.
Kenny motherfucking Powers.
Yeah.
I'm Kenny
that show
motherfucking
is
Powers. Coming back
so,
in 2 weeks.
Anyway, Corey, I'm so glad you listened. And we're now friends on Facebook, so now we are formally friends. And there you go. That is it. The Blue Chip Ranger Radio. For
Wazili.
You
forgot Wazili.
Wazili. I forgot him, but I have to remember him because Wazili has helped me in so many ways. Wazili once stomped on Tokyo and destroyed it until he was met by Mecha Wazili. Wazili, and then they had a big fight, and then I don't know what happened. Some Chinese chicks came from Pearl, the clam, and the shell, and called Mothra, and that's how it ended. Wazili, welcome! And I love you all, and that's it for the and that's it.
All right. Nicely done, as always. Just want to remind you guys, we're going to keep throwing it out there. November 26th. It is a Friday. It's the day after Thanksgiving. Blue Shirt Banner Radio, I Can't Bear to Watch Party at the Poynton Still in Hackensack, New Jersey. We're going to be there doing it. First, we're going to do a live show right from the bar, and then we're going to watch the Rangers take on the Florida Panthers. I hope you guys could all make it. My travel plans are set. I will be there. The wife will be there. My daughter will be there. Try and get my dad, my brothers. I'm bringing the whole freaking kit and caboodle. So hopefully you guys could all make it, and we'll see you then. We'll have fun and have a few drinks, watch the Rangers, yell at them, scream at them, cheer, whatever. So hopefully we'll see you guys
there.
Yeah,
we'll have some giveaways, too. We'll be giving stuff away.
Yeah, we're going to have a bunch of stuff to give away. So
Night with the Mouse.
Oh, whoa, speaking of indecent proposals. Wow. Are we just giving that away? I mean, shouldn't we be raffling that off?
Listen, you don't want to spend the night with me. It's a mess. It's a mess.
All right. So, mark your calendar. We want to see you. I want to see all of you then. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. I think we're going to have a real good turnout. Ricky's going to be there as well. I know that. And we'll see. You never know who else is going to show up. So, anyway. We got 15 minutes to go. No, we don't even have 15 minutes to go. We have 12 minutes to go, and I got two phone calls on hold that we'll put on the air in just a minute. And Friday night, if you want to join us, we're going to do the Radio Nowhere thing. I don't know what our theme is going to be yet. I'm leaning either towards maybe a Beatles thing or maybe the shitty 80s type stuff. You know, all the bad things from the 80s that we love. I don't know. We'll figure something out. But hopefully, you guys join us Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, and we'll have some fun. All right. Let's get to the phones. Let's wrap this up. 201-257. I know you've been on hold for a while. I do appreciate it. Yes, he's on the phone. Who is this?
Hey, guys.
Hello? Hello? I think we've got a bad connection there. All right, try and call back in. We'll get you right on. Let's go to Robbie.
Oh, here we go. I'm online.
He's on now.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
The Mets just lost once again.
Okay. Does this surprise you?
I'm very upset about them.
I love the fact that you haven't given up and that you're still yelling at the Mets every night on Facebook.
I can't. Well, hold on one second. Here. You know, I'm pretty much giving up on them now. They just got to come back next year with a new coaching staff. But look at the positive. We got 16 days till training camp for the Rangers, so that's one good thing to look forward to.
So what do you think of the Kennedy signing?
I like it. I think he's going to go to Hartford, but I like it. I think Kennedy. But the guy who they got, I like it. I think it's in depth, but I think he's going to go to Hartford. But I got something to tell you guys. I have a friend, right? I'm at my house. I got a friend go over. He's a Mets Giants fan for you, Jim. Is that good?
Of course.
Yeah, but the bad news is he's bigger with them. Like, I know he's not big on hockey like we are, but his favorite team is the Devils, if he had to choose one.
You got to get better friends.
No. With the Mets, it's good. The Mets Giants for you is good. But I had this other friend who was a diehard Devils fan, and him and I would argue all the time. He says that he thinks that Rangers fans are complete assholes, and he says that we're
fair. Hey, we are.
What?
We are assholes, but we take.
We are when baited.
What do you say?
I think we take a lot of pride in being assholes.
Yeah, but at least we're like fun and obnoxious, like funny obnoxious, not like rude obnoxious like Devils fans are.
Well. Yeah, well, they have no personality.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Well, no, they don't have any fans. But, another thing. When I went to my sports broadcasting camp, there was he was a Mets, Jets, Islanders, Knicks fan, and he was from Great Neck, Long Island. And I said, well, you know, you got me with the Mets, Jets, and Knicks, but I am a Rangers fan, and I kind of, no offense, I don't really like the Islanders. And his mother said to me, no one does. They suck. You're good. It doesn't matter. So, that would be fun.
Now, Robbie, I want to ask you a question. You know, it's Eddie. I want to ask you a question. Now, you follow the Mets game in and game out. Now, do you do the same thing with the Rangers this year? You going to be on top of them game? Because I'm going to go to you. I want to know if it's game 6 or it's game 64. I want to say, listen, they played Tampa last night. What do you think? Are you going to watch them? Or are you going to be
Eddie,
one of these fly-by-night
Eddie,
guys?
Eddie. I watch every single Eddie, I watch every single game of every single one of my sports teams. Hold on, I watch every single Mets game, every single Jets game. I see the tickets to the Jets, every single Rangers game, every single Knicks game. All right, it's very frustrating watching them. I watch every single game. Yes, I'll follow the Rangers every single game.
Robbie,
are you calling from the Russian sub, Kursk?
Tell me you're on the radio.
Sorry, go on. What were you saying, Jim?
I said tell your friend to shut up.
I did.
All right.
But he said go on. Sorry, Eddie. I'm sorry.
You're going to be my go-to guy. If I talk about the second period and that penalty, you better know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I will. Unfortunately, I have to watch them, which is it's very disappointing.
This team is great, according to Zach. They got great players.
Great players.
He's been hanging out with Jim Search.
Well, you know, actually, there's one thing I wanted to tell you. A few months ago, I was I criticized Tortorella and I was all over him and everything, but I'm more easy on him now. You know why? Because I feel that like the reason why he was constantly changing up the lineups because the Rangers didn't have that good of a team. So and if you're a coach, what are you going to do? You're going to constantly try to find a winning combination. So I think that Tortorella, I give him one more year, but if they don't make the playoffs, I think not only Sager has to go, but Tortorella does. So,
Robbie, I think you've been hitting a fun dip tonight. You're way too wired.
What do you mean?
You're all excited. All right, listen,
yes,
Robbie, we're starting to run out of time. We'll talk to you next week, all right, buddy?
All right, and my friend says let's go Mets and let's go Giants for you, Jim, okay?
All right. Anyway. All right, bye. Robbie's got like a house full of people like it's Thanksgiving over there.
I'm on the radio.
I'm trying to do a broadcast over here. Quiet, numbskull. I'm broadcasting. All right. Whoever I was going to put on just hung up. All right. Well, so we got, what do we got? 6 minutes to go. We got 6 minutes to go. Again, we'll catch you guys. We'll be back on next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And hopefully by the time we come, at some point in this month, we'll have to put together our schedule for the season because we are going to have to change it up on some nights because the Rangers play a lot of games on Wednesday nights. They probably did that on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Well, didn't last year we run two shows a week?
Yeah, for a good part of the year. Yeah, we were doing two shows. And
I'm over here now.
Yeah, we're over here. Yeah, we were over there. Now we're over here now. So, okay. Call's back. Let me put whoever this is. 201-257, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Ricky. What's up, guys?
Hey, Ricky. How you doing?
Hey, Rick. Hey, what's going on tonight, fellas?
Not much. We had a little Torts bashing by Paul, which is always... Well, Torts says he's giving Torts kind of a reprieve. I know you are heading... You and him are neck and neck in the Torts get him out and get him out quickly parade. How about you? Are you...
I was listening on hold, and I heard one of your callers before, Rocco or Rocky. He said, where's Derek Bougard, and why isn't Bougard there? Well, I got out, I've been doing a lot of work, and I now have become good friends with Derek Bougard. As a matter of fact, I'm going to announce on the show that Derek Bougard is going to be doing signings for me as of October. We're waiting to finalize the date. I also have a friend of mine who's doing a movie project called Ice Guardians, and it's going to be about the history of fighting and enforcers in the National Hockey League. It's going to debut at the Toronto Film Festival, and Derek Bougard has signed on to be the current focus of the movie, with legends Nicky Fatiu, Clark Gillies, Dave Brown, and a bunch of other guys being carded also.
Ricky. Hey, Ricky.
Yes.
Everybody's having a really hard time hearing you. You're breaking up really bad. Somebody asked if you're calling from the Tron universe.
All I want to say is Derek Bougard spent the last 3 weeks with a power skating instructor, and that's where he is. And, you know, I hate the fact that Ranger fans are crapping on the guy already. I just think it's bullshit. I think guys are, you know, not taking in the big picture. You know, last year everybody cried when Gabbert got punched in the face. Everybody bitched and moaned when Lundqvist got snow shot in his face. Now we have a guy that's not going to allow that, and they're still bitching.
Well, you know, once he pummels some guy, everybody be on the bandwagon. I got to tell you, these guys, because somebody said you got that ransom voice on, like you're kidnapping somebody.
Yeah, you sound like you're on an auto-tuner.
Oh, yeah, connection. All right, just remember, this Tortorella sucks, the chicken wings are great, and we're all going to have Guinness. I'll see you at the party.
All right, Ricky, we'll see you soon.
Oh, my God, you guys cracked me up in this chat room.
All right. The chat room has made a couple of people have made a request. They would like to hear the Cuppy Cake song at the end of the show. So
okay. We
will do that for him. Mandar, you know, as usual, has been on hold the entire show, but I never know if Mandar wants to come on the air or if he just wants to listen and hold. So I brought Mandar on the air if he wants to have the last word tonight. Mandar, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Did you have an opinion you wanted to voice, or were you just listening?
I have many opinions, Jim, but there's just too many to mention in the time allotted. So, you know, we'll save that for another time. It's just an honor to be on the show with men of your stature and girth.
Stature and girth.
Yes. Jim, I've been waiting on hold, and I understand you have the other callers to take because they certainly give their well-informed opinions. And, of course, we respect everybody's opinion no matter, you know, how good or bad it is. It's an opinion, right, Eddie? Like, everybody has them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, Jim, I have a bone to pick with you, as you well know.
Oh, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Now, you're going to preface this before?
No, I'm going to tell everybody what it is. We got a minute to go now.
All right.
You want to save it for next week?
Yeah, we'll save it for next week.
Okay. Feel free to make your fifth comment on Blue Shirt Banner in the year you've been a member at any time. All right. Without further ado, and they wanted the intro as well, so here we go. The lights dim. We got 90 seconds to go. The crowd holds their cupcakes high as the Islanders take the ice. And the PA announcer comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, your 2010 New York Islanders!
You're my honey bun sugar plum, pumpy and bumpkin. You're my sweetie pie. You're my cuppy cake gumdrop, snickum spickum, you're the apple. apple of my eye. And I love you so, and I want you to know that I'll always be right here. And I love to sing three songs to you, because you are so dear.
Well, there you have it. We got 30 seconds to go. I just want to thank you all for listening. Eddie, it's been a pleasure.
I'm checking my laptop.
Your what?
Oh, I'm checking my laptop. Oh, the answer.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
Those guys all have right. me laughing so much.
All right,
go ahead.
Thanks for being here tonight. We will see you next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. If you can make it Friday night, we'd love to see you. We'll have some fun. Take care, everybody. Hey, and if you're in the path of Hurricane Earl, stay safe. Hope everything's all right. Batten down the hatches. We'll see you soon.
Okay, take care.
That never gets old.
No, it doesn't.
Never gets old.
No, Islander bashing is always good.
All right, I'm out of here. I smell turkey burgers.
Dinner's ready on my end as well. Good
take
night,
care, guys.
Take care, Mike.
All right, buddy, Eddie.
Good night.
Good night.